Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Writing Mama Show here on BTR's World of Ink Network. We are a featured host, and today's show is also featured on Blog Talk Radio, so we want to thank them for that. I am your host, Virginia S. Grenier, and I am excited to be here today. It is February 18th. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And as always, you can catch the World of Ink Network pretty much every day of the week. You can listen to us live, and we always have on-demand shows listed in our podcast section. And then you can also catch us on iTunes. You just need to search for World of Ink Network, and we will come up in the little iTunes Blog Talk Radio find and search area. And then just really quick, I need to go over what shows we have coming up here on the World of Ink. Tomorrow we have Marsha Casper Cook's show, A Good Story is a Good Story. You'll want to tune into that. She always has some really interesting guests on her show. And then we also have Wednesday, the Family Matters show with myself, Keisha Burcham, and Irene Roth. That's a really good show, especially for parents, teachers, and anyone who is a counselor in schools. We're going to be talking about student and school safety. We'll also be talking about the recent gun violence debate that's been happening as well. So that'll be Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Fran Lewis has her show, Book Discussion, so tune into that. That's always a fun show. It's usually about 2 hours long, so make sure you definitely mark your calendars and time for that. So anyways, today is the Writing Mama show. As you guys know, on Mondays we have two shows, either Stories for Children or the Writing Mama. And so today is the Writing Mama because we have with us author Amber Leah Easton, who is a romance writer. She is currently out touring her contemporary suspense adventure romantic novel, Riptide. So we're excited to have you on the show, Amber. We've had you on once before, but this is the first time we're having you on to actually talk more about you.
Yeah, that was fun last time, though. But yes, I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Yes, and you've actually been writing for quite a few years. You've been in, you know, writing and advertising and journalism for, like, about 20 years, correct?
I know. Yeah, I'm getting old. The years just keep adding up.
Not getting old, but you know, it's amazing how fast it goes.
I'm getting seasoned, well seasoned.
Yes, seasoned. You're a seasoned writer and journalist. And yeah, it sounds so much better.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're a busy mom because you have teenagers. Of course, I don't know. Are they in college now? Your daughters?
No. Yeah, no, they're two teenagers. They're 16 and 15.
So I have mine's turning 17, so I understand your pain.
Yes.
Of course, mine's a boy, so I guess he's not as dramatic as girls are.
Oh, just wait. No, just wait. I'm warning you. My 15-year-old son is more dramatic than my 16-year-old daughter.
Really? Well,
yeah,
I guess I've been lucky because he turned 17 this year,
and he's
so
not.
Far so good. Yeah, so far so good.
Maybe it's just because they're playing off each other or something, but just this year, suddenly he's Mr. Drama, and I'm going, wow, where did this come from, and why? I don't understand the why,
I do get moody. I do get moody teenager. That I do get.
Yeah.
He gets moody, especially because he's in debate this year, and he's the policy captain for his high school, and he started off the season very strong and always placing first, second, or third place. And the last two debates, he's placed, but it's been fourth place, so it's more like honorable mention. And he's been very mad and upset. And, of course, now they're in their regionals and state finals. And, of course, he's placing, but it's not in the top three slots. And I'm like, well, you know, it's your first year. You did really good, and you even became the captain of policy. And so you should be excited about that. But because now it's more of a downer versus, you know, more of a high at the end of the year. Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
He's moody. Everything makes him mad. I'm just like, oh, isn't this fun?
I know. Well, you know, it's interesting having a son, though, don't you? I like having a son. It's interesting to see how they are different, you know, mm-hmm. but yet they're still very soulful. You know,
right.
just, you know, they have deep emotions. It's just that they express them a lot differently than the girl.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh.
So you have Riptide, which is your currently released book, and before that you have Kiss Me Slowly. And
yeah.
I'm sure, you know, besides the fact, you know, of been married, you know, you're a widow, so you've been married, you've gone through the whole, obviously, you know, romance, and of course you're back out in the dating scene. So, and with teenagers in your house, I'm sure you get a lot of material between your, you know, from being married to
yes.
your current situation of being back out in the dating field, which my mom was divorced when she was, divorced my dad when she was 30, so I remember her going back into that, her middle-age years. You know, the whole dating cycle again. And then you have teenagers who are, of course, entering and in the dating realm. So do you find you get a lot of, you know, information and detail and ideas from this current situation you're in? I mean, you just got a lot to pull from.
Oh, I do. But, you know, and I do. And I love men. And I don't mean that in like a, ooh, I love men, you know, that I mean, like a way. But I really like men just to talking to men. And I think that's because I was best friends with my husband, so that helps. You know, I have a positive past experience in that way. And so when I do date, I think I take men aback in a little bit because I do want to know how they think about things and how they're coming at the situation. And a lot of them have a lot of heartbreak and behind them as well. But they express it in such a deep way that it's really been a learning experience for me as far as getting in touch with how the men are seeing this in their late 40s or early 50s and re-entering the dating world too. It's kind of like an experiment. That's how I'm looking at the whole thing. It's like, wow, it's like I'm on some social experiment whenever I'm out and about because it's just all so interesting to me. And I'm learning a lot. Every time I go out, I learn a lot. And there's a lot of crazy people out there, but, you know, that's where I get a lot of my great characters from that I write about later is from the crazy ones. So, you know, whatever. They come. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really learning a lot of just about the whole thing, and it's just a wonderful. It's actually been fun. I mean, it goes up and down, and there's drama, and a lot of it I don't understand sometimes, but I have a lot of respect for it, too.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you made the comment, some of it you don't even understand, because I think sometimes, and I can talk about this, I mean, I'm hitting, in April will be my 10-year anniversary to my husband, and, you know, I think about that, and I'm just like, gosh, you know, I think I would be completely lost if I was back, because I'm older than my mom now, I'm 10 years older than she was when she ended back into the dating world, and I think about that, I'm just like, I think I wouldn't read people the same more, because so with technology now, you know?
Yeah,
I mean it's easy to misread things. And I'm reading Riptide currently. I've never read Kiss Me Slowly, but my husband and I met on the internet. That's I mean honestly, it's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious. I mean, have you thought about writing a romantic book based around? Because it seems like when Justin and I met, and he's probably going to be like, oh, I can't believe you actually mentioned my name for the first time on the radio, but I did. when Justin and I met, the whole online dating scene hit, you know, was like, well, that was like almost 12 years ago, was just really starting, people were starting to just start buzzing about it and getting a little bit more comfortable with the idea. I mean, it wasn't like it was a new idea at that time. I mean, it had been around, but it was becoming a little bit more acceptable, but not totally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we tell people we met on the internet, when we first, you know, were married in our first years of marriage, I'm like, oh, yeah, we met through an online dating service. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, really? Now we mention it. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Because, I mean, you can see ads now on TV for, you know, the online dating. So have you tried that? Have you, you know, have you thought about writing that in a book? I mean, I'm just curious.
I probably will be after my current experience that I'm going in. I was in a, I'll just tell you a little story if you don't mind.
Okay.
I was in a little fit. I am a very, I can be dramatic. I know that's a surprise coming from a writer. I'm sure anybody listening, if they're writers, are like, oh, really? You're, you can be dramatic? Yeah, so I think it was January 4th. I was being, I was having a fit because I was breaking up with this other man that I'd been going out with for 5 months, and I joined Match.com on January 5th in sort of a fit, though. You know, it was just one of those, fine then, I'm going to go on Match and blah, 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 you know, filling out all the questions and going through it, and I got on Match, and I actually ended up meeting somebody, and we were talking, and we did the whole webcam thing, which was new for me, doing that with somebody that you don't, like a, you know, it's a stranger. And we're doing a web chat, and then we did the phone calls, and then we met for the first time last week, face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He's a really nice guy. He really
is. Yeah.
You know, and I was very skeptical about the whole Match.com thing. He was the only nice guy that I saw on there. I mean, no offense to anybody who's out there, just in my experience in the 3 weeks that I was doing it. You know, which isn't vast, you know, amount of time. But, you know, he was really nice, and he was a good guy. And I don't know what's going to happen after the date one, the official date. But it wasn't that horrible. Like, I was, you know, thinking that he would turn out to be, he'd show up and be, you know, 20 years older than what he looked like. Or, you know, but then, you know, we did the webcam chat before that, and that was interesting, but I looked horrible that day. But anyway, I was like, oh, really? Why am I doing this? But, you know, I guess I'm open to new experiences. I don't know if I like the whole idea. The one thing I didn't like about being on the internet, or the, you know, the dating site, was it felt like shopping, and it felt really superficial in a way.
Yeah.
You know, just going through and you see people's best photos that they have, and they're going to put their best foot forward, and they're going to say this, you know, that they're athletic and toned, and, you know, everybody's got to be perfect, you know. I'm not perfect, and I don't really want somebody who is, because that would be a lot to keep up with. And
yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what to, you know, what's going to happen with that, but I'm open to all new experiences. It's just, I'm kind of old school. I'm very laid back, and I'm very easygoing. And I kind of like the idea of just you meet someone, and then it's just easy, and it's simple. And I know you just say, hey, you want to go out for a drink, and you go out for a drink, or you say you want to go play pool, and you go play pool, and there's not all this reading into it where suddenly you're going to get married tomorrow. You know, I'm not like that. And I'm finding that the men seem to be. They're the ones who read into things more. At least in my limited experience here back out in the world, they're the ones who read into, like, ooh, she wants to go play pool, you know. It's like, no, I really just want to go play pool. That's it. I'm not going to go take you to Tiffany's afterwards or anything like that. I just want to go shoot some pool and listen to a band. And, you know, that's it. It's really not that complicated in my perspective. And it seems like they're coming at it with all this, you know, baggage and these, you know, oh, she's a woman, so she must mean this kind of scenario.
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I put myself, not that the show's supposed to be about online dating, I just, you know, thought I'd ask if you've tried this and thought about it for a book, because I always, and I, not that I've thought about really writing in romance, but when people hear my story about how my husband and I met, I guess you should really write that story, because it's really, it's kind of funny, because you're mentioning how everybody puts, like, the nice photos on. I kid you not. I had dyed, because I'm, you know, everybody's seen my photos. They all know that I'm that dirty dishwater blonde hair. Well, I had gotten out of a really bad relationship, which was with my son's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you know, it'd been a couple of years, and I was back. And after a couple of years, I was like, oh, I guess I should get back in the dating scene. Didn't really want to. I'd put on weight because I'd gone from being out in stores to a desk job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd put on weight from being active to, you know, sitting for 10, 12 hours a day in a buying office. And dyed my hair red. I kid you not. I cut my hair short and dyed my hair red.
Oh, wow, cool.
So I had this picture of me with weight on, sunglasses, red hair, we're at Legoland, and I'm in the shadow, so you can barely see my features anyways. And that was the horrible picture I stuck up on the dating site because I was like, I'm going to find the worst picture so nobody, because it was kind of the same thing how you got on there for a tip. My whole thing was, everybody was like, you need to go out and date again. You need to go out and date again. And I was in the process of losing weight when everybody was saying that. Like, you should really get out and date again. I'm like, oh, fine. I'm like, I'll just go on the site so you guys will all just leave me alone. So I put on that I was a single mother and that I had, you know, how young my son was and, you know, just put, not that I had, like, all my dirty laundry, but, you know, put a lot of my baggage on there. Just, like, everything to just basically where somebody would read it and go, moving on.
Right.
And unfortunately, my husband was like, what is her story? She's obviously trying avoidance, which made me more desirable in his
eyes. Oh, cool.
But unfortunately, we didn't have webcams back then because they weren't really the thing yet. And so I had to go based on the non-photo at his profile. And then when he sent me a photo, he had a picture of himself standing next to Reardon, who you know, used to be in politics out in California. And I was like, nah, he found this on some political site and is trying to send me this photo of him next to this, you know, this politician. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to compress me. And of course, it really was him. But I didn't think that. I literally thought he was, like, you know, trying to do the fake thing. So, yeah, I hear you. It is. And I'm, you know, I'm like you. I'm old school, you know.
Yeah.
If I ever had to get back in the dating world, I would definitely be more like, you know, if I meet somebody and they ask me out for, you know, drink or this or that, I'd be like, okay, you know, whatever happens. Which is how your books are written.
Right.
You know, they casually meet, and it's not like they're being set up, and it's not like they're like doing the hunting, like, ooh, I'm going to find, you know, whoever I'm going to marry. It just happens. And I love that because I mean, that's really how romance is. I think real romance, which is definitely, you know, what I'm getting from Riptide. I mean, it feels exactly, it's not like fairy tale. It's exactly how, you know, once you've really been through romance, know what romance is. It just happens, and it's slow, and it sneaks up on you, and I love it, and I love that, you know, your characters don't read too much, and when they do think they're reading too much, and they start to second-guess themselves, and I like that about your character development with the main characters.
Well, thank you.
Because it feels real.
Well, that's what I like about writing characters. I try to make them feel real, and I'll try to make them flawed, and they might look perfect on the outside, but they're very flawed inside. You know, they have their weaknesses and their self. I think that's just normal. I think no matter how someone looks on the outside, no one knows their past or their wounds that they carry within them. And so I try to make my characters human in that way, that they all have some vulnerability that makes them just maybe not as confident as they may appear, you know, on their facade. And I think that's why people can relate to them, you know.
Yeah.
I hope. And cheer for them, hopefully, at the end, that they want them to be happy. They want them to get together and say, oh, come on, you guys are perfect for each other. Come on already.
Have you ever felt when you're writing? Because, I mean, you know, I know as a writer, you know, not everybody has, like, a detailed outline. But generally, you have an outline. You have an idea of where your story is going to end, where it's going to start, and the progression somewhat to where, you know, to connect those two dots. Have you ever gotten to, like, the middle of your book or a third of the way through your book, and you're just going, maybe these two characters are fighting, you know, the characters, the two main characters actually start fighting, you know, the romance between them, it just feels like they're struggling, and you're thinking, maybe they shouldn't end up together. Have you ever encountered that yet with a character?
Yeah, but it's not a romance. It's turning into just a straight suspense story. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because I realized that the guy, the hero that I was making into a hero would actually be a better villain. So it's like, there's no saving grace with him. And it's like, well, you know what, this is going to end the way, you know, differently. And it's not going to be, it's going to be just a straight suspense story. And it's a good story still. Mm-hmm. I love the heroine in it. Actually, I love the hero, too. It's just that they're not meant to be, you know. It's one of those. And I'm not going to try to force it. I'm just going to let it go this way, and we'll see how it... I mean, I think I really like it. So we'll just... hopefully other people will like it, too. But I like how it's unfolding this way, and I like that it's sort of a twist, although I've just kind of blown it right now by saying that, but it's sort of a twist in the story.
but they don't know what the book's exactly about, and they don't know the title.
Right, exactly. That's true. That won't say.
You don't know. It may not be the next book you publish. It could be
Yes, I have two already in the queue that are coming out, and it's not either of those. Those are already written and done and out. So.
Yep. See, there you go.
Yeah.
Now they're wondering, when will this book come out?
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of wonder, because, I mean, most romance, and trust me, I am definitely a romance queen. I mean, my husband, which, yeah, he's going to really hate me now, but he actually, we love Princess Bride. It's one of his favorite movies, actually, is The Princess Bride. I know, it's a guy, and he loves, I mean, the second he sees it on, like, TNT or something, he's like, oh, Princess Bride, he turns it on, I'm like, really?
As you wish. Yes, I love that.
Yes,
I love that.
But, you know, you think about it, and see, I love Princess Bride, and I love Stardust. I love both those movies. There's that simple romance, you know, everybody ends happily ever after, and like, oh, don't you wish? You know, as great as fairy tales are, and a lot of romance, and I'm not saying romance books are fairy tales, but, you know, they do have usually that fairy tale ending where they do end up together, even if there's still issues. The point is the two people get together. Sometimes I wonder what it would be like for a romance novel to end where you're not sure if they're going to end up together because there is some complex.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel that there's definitely a tie between them, but they're not officially together yet, even when the book ends. I'm wondering if that would even work in your genre, because sometimes that does happen. Sometimes as much as you want to be together, things still keep you apart.
I think then it would probably be classified more like women's fiction.
You know?
I think that's where that falls into, or even more, maybe even chick lit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In order to be classified in the romance genre, you have to have the happy ending. You know, that's just in order for it to be put into that genre. And from a publisher's point of view, you know, they have the requirements for their genres and where they market it, et cetera. But you can still write the book. I mean, Nicholas Sparks does a lot like that, if you think about it. Not all of his stories are happy endings.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are romances. But, you know, I saw an interview with him once with Katie Couric where she was calling him a romance writer, and he said, well, not really. There are a lot of romantic elements in my novels, but there's not always a happy ending. So that's what I think what you're talking about there is a book more like that, where it would fall into that more mainstream women's fiction type category.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting down to write for your readership, from what your experience has been, are the key things that you know your readers are looking for in a romantic novel?
Okay, well, since I mainly write, I do have a contemporary romance coming out, not the next one, but the one after that is just a straight contemporary romance. So I guess I was going to talk about romantic suspense, but I guess it's all the elements are the same. I think that all readers, at least in my, that follow me, they want the tension and they want the conflict. And so when I sit down to write, I need to make sure that there's always tension on every page. And that's what I really go for. Even if it's just emotional tension, even if it's the self-doubt, there's got to be that emotion that's driving the story. And that's where I write from, is from that place of just emotional conflict. What's at risk here for the character? What's at jeopardy for them personally? You know, not necessarily for the plot, but personally, what are the stakes?
Right.
And that's where I sit down to write, that's what I'm always thinking about. Whenever, even if it's just, you know, I'm starting on chapter 20 and I'm, you know, sitting down that day, I'm like, okay, what's at stake here today for these characters in this chapter? What's their problem? And where are we going to go with it? And I think that's what makes a good story in any genre, is the emotion that's at play. You know, at least for me as a reader, too. I want there to be, otherwise I get bored. I'm like, yeah, well, it seems like they're just kind of skating through and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't care. I need to know that there's something really big here that the character wants, even if they're not quite sure what it is, that there's something. And you can feel that. And a good book always has tension on every page. I don't, you know, even a comedy. Comedies sometimes are quite tragic if you think about it. And they have, you know, there's always something there that's at risk for the main character.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I'm like thinking about, I love Sting. So you ever seen that?
Yeah.
That movie. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a romantic comedy, and it's not even there's not even romance because the happy ending is the fact that they're not together.
Yeah. Together. Exactly. Yeah.
Because she's completely crazy, but
yeah,
you're right. It's actually a tragedy, even though it's funny as it is.
Yeah, well, sometimes the best tragedies are funny, you know, when
yes,
you're not in
yes.
them, when you're looking at them from the outside.
So, out of all your characters that you've written, do you feel that you have any that are the closest to you personally, where you could say they're a lot of who
mm-hmm.
you are?
Well, yes, and that is with Lauren and Riptide. She's me.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways. I used personal experience to write Riptide. It's what fueled it. Back when I was in my 20s, I had a stalker situation when I was a reporter out in North Carolina. And nothing as severe as what happened to Lauren and Riptide, you know, because, you know, with the beauty of fiction is you can exaggerate and explore your own, you know, emotions through it.
Right,
but you can
right.
exaggerate and make it bigger, you know. thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd be in therapy. But Lauren is more like me, the most like me. She had to start over. I had to start over. I had a lot of self-doubt starting over, not quite sure where to put the next foot, you know, where to take that next step, or even if I had the strength to do so. And that's what Lauren's going through. There's a lot of self-doubt. She feels pretty beat up. She's not quite sure she can do it, that she doesn't know really where to go after this, you know, hiatus that she's taking. And that's, you know, that's true for a lot of people. A lot of people go through that situation, too, where they have to start over again, and they're not quite sure how, but they know they have to.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. And I definitely identified with her for that reason, because I've had many starts and stops in my life. And so I understood that, where you're just sitting there and you're going, okay, I just need to take a break and step away from everything. But then, you know, eventually you have to go back into, you know, the shark's tank, and you're just like, where do I begin?
Yeah, and will I be accepted going back, you know?
Yeah.
You know, after you take a lot of, you know, take time off, society isn't always accepting of people taking a break to figure things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot of confidence and courage to just go ahead and do it. Anyway,
mm-hmm. No, you're right. No, you're totally right.
Yeah, just to say, well, here
and,
I go.
And I think in obviously I get this from Lauren and Riptide very much. So is usually when you come back, you've changed, but you've changed where no one's seen the change. So it's a huge change to when you come back to those who you've been away from,
mm-hmm.
as well, because you come back a different person to some degree or to a great degree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think, at least where I'm at in the book, I think to some degree, I think she's starting to realize that, you know, she is changing. And
mm-hmm.
so when she does enter back into her, you know, into the world that she, you know, to some degree where she was before,
yeah.
that people are going to see that. And then again, you know, you have that self-doubt, like, you know, what are those relationships like with those past people and future relationships with other people going to be like, too?
Well,
you
exactly.
are changing.
Because you do change and you evolve in any type of situation that you're in. Like even, you know, do you mind if I get personal for a second?
Yeah.
You know? No, like after when my husband died, which is now almost 8 years ago, I went through a tremendous amount of grief. And with that came there was a lot of trauma involved. And when I went through that process, I am no longer the person I was 8 years ago, you know.
Right.
And there are people in my life who have a really hard time with that now. They say, I wish you were like you used to be. And, well, I will never be how I used to be, like a decade ago, because I went through so much. And when you go through that big evolution, you really don't go back. You
right.
just, you can't. You've been molded by life.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know?
That's very true. And I definitely think, you know, you going through that experience with losing your husband, definitely is reflected in Riptide as well. You know, you can see that happening with your main character, your female main character, her going through that huge evolution. So maybe
mm-hmm.
there's more of her in you, even more of you in her than you think.
Oh, I think so. No, I really do.
Yeah.
I've written by now, because I've got two other books coming out in the future, and
mm-hmm.
so I've written other characters since then, and still Lauren really resonates with me. I think she is the closest reflection to me at this point. You know, maybe I'll write someone else who's, you know, going like is reflection of me. But right now, Lauren is the one who resonates. You know, and just like with Noah, because Noah is a delicious man. And if I could, like, snap my fingers, I'd be done dating. Boom, there'd be Noah.
But, you know, with all the time that he has water dripping on him or perspiration happening, you know, it's kind of hard for any woman who likes that in a guy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've noticed, I'm like, wow, we have a lot of water symbolism here constantly on this guy's body.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, it helps that he's in the Cayman Islands, so he's half naked all the time. So that really
helps.
Yes,
that's true. I guess
and people
helps.
Wonder
wow.
why I want to move to the Caribbean one day. I'm like, really? I don't know.
I'm going on a cruise in July, and as I'm reading this book, I keep looking at my husband. I'm going, yeah, I can't wait until we go on this cruise. He's like, well, I'm like, because I'm going to make sure I constantly have a water bottle. I'm going to be squirting you. He's like, quit reading the book. I'm like, what? I'm like, listen to this scene. And he's like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
yeah.
Yeah.
he thinks I'm crazy. He's just like, okay, go on to your crazy self. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But if you notice, Noah's not exactly all together himself either. I mean, he really looks beautiful, but he's got a lot of baggage too. So
yeah, he does have a lot of he does have a lot of baggage.
And
then,
one
you know,
that's following him around too on the island. So.
Yeah, that never helps. When you have baggage that has legs, it's not.
Yeah, it makes it a little hard, huh? To get away from it.
So What made you pick the Cayman Islands for the setting for Riptide?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I've been to the Caymans, and when I was there, I was struck by how small it was because it's a very narrow island. It's only 21 miles long, and I don't remember the exact dimensions, but I think at the widest point it's only a mile wide. So it's very it's like shaped like a horseshoe. And I thought, what a place if something, you know, being a writer, of course, I was immediately going to, man, if a crime happened here, you wouldn't be able to really get away, or it'd be really hard to get away from someone in such a small setting, you know,
right.
And when you're surrounded by the ocean. And I thought that added an element of danger to the whole place, even though it's a very serene place when you're there visiting, and it's very beautiful. But I thought, wow, what a great place to have something like this happen, you know, because it is very small, and you are just, there's the ocean, wherever you look, there's the ocean, and if you're not comfortable, like Lauren's a little scared of the ocean, you know, so that adds a little element right there, too, of, you know, she's surrounded by something she's scared of, which could be a metaphor if you really want to get, it's just a romantic suspense novel, but if you wanted to get metaphorical about it, you know, she's also surrounded by something that she's afraid of. You know.
That's true. Well, and you think about it, too. I mean, everybody always thinks of, like, the Cayman Islands or Hawaii, all these, you know, tropical, you know, the Caribbean areas, you know, it doesn't matter what island they're, you know, as this tropical paradise. And if you think about it, I mean, tragedy does happen there. As much as we don't hear about it or don't want to even believe that it happens in paradise, it does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's what I think I like about Riptide is because, you know, you're in this area, in this place where you're supposed to like, oh, it's supposed to be so majestic and just, you know, nothing happens and you can walk around on cloud nine. And the reality is, nope,
yeah,
not going to be that way, you know.
Yeah. I think even like I think it's the end of the first chapter, if I remember right, on Riptide where, or maybe it's the second chapter where Noah's driving and he's like, yeah, I'm in paradise. But, you know, it's not really, he's being sarcastic about it. You know, nothing happens in paradise.
Yes, it's in the second chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually chuckled at that because you're right, you know. Usually we try and leave our personal realities and go to those places, you know, to escape into fantasy land and what we consider paradise, and you find out that it's not always that simple.
It isn't. And, you know, I was in another place I like is Belize down there, and I remember sitting there with this was back when my husband and I were divers, and we were down sitting at a bar in Belize, and we were talking to one of the locals, and we're like, man, it's just so quiet here. It's just so mellow. And they're like, oh, my God, the U.S. Marshals are here every week finding someone. I was like, what? What? And they're like, oh, yeah, people are always fleeing the United States and coming to Belize and the U.S. Marshals. And then I'm like, interesting. I may have to write a story about that.
Oh, hey. Yeah, that's why my husband keeps my husband keeps teasing me about the cruise we're going on because of that same thing. Everything's you go on cruises, and, you know, it's a safe place to go. And I'm a big one for, like, Dateline ID and, mm-hmm. and watching those things. And lately, all of a sudden, every single show has been about somebody pushing, like, their lover off the boat and trying to get away with it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm just going. And I'm like, I know this happens occasionally. I didn't realize that there's this many different stories where this has happened.
No,
I'm like,
oh, my goodness.
Maybe I'm going to put, like, a tether rope on my waist and walk around.
Just make sure you guys are always getting along.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, well, we have an inside cabin, because that was the first thing they asked. Like, do you want a cabin with a balcony? I'm like, nope, we'll take it inside, thank you. I'm like, I don't even want to risk that, oops, she accidentally fell off in the middle of the night and I was snoring and didn't hear it happen.
Yes. Oh, no. That'd be horrible.
Yeah, so I think it's funny that you mentioned the whole U.S. Marshal thing being down there, because, you know, you don't realize it until you actually start asking locals or, you know,
yes.
like me, who likes to watch all the investigation type shows.
Yes.
And you're like,
yes.
Oh, wow, there's a theme here.
Yeah, and it was really funny, too. Her name was Rosie. I'll never forget her. She was a very good bartender. She was wild and fun. And after Rosie told us all this, we were out diving for lobsters, and then we went to this private, like, our guide took us to this beach to make the lobsters, and so it was really deserted, supposedly, and so, like, Sean and I, we get off on the dock, and we're, like, hanging out on the beach while the guy's making our lobsters on the, you know, over the coconuts or whatever he was doing, and we notice a pair of shoes and a hammock curled up under a bush. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's probably a fugitive here. Why is there, because of course, you know, Rosie had just told us a story about the U.S. Marshals, and I'm seeing these shoes and this abandoned hammock, like, kind of shoved, you know. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't feel safe anymore on this beach.
You never know. And has this shown up in a book yet?
No, not yet. But it's, you know, not yet. It's an idea, though. It's out there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could just see, you know, two lovers are out, come across, like, some fugitive.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting story.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. No, and it was just very, so, you know, all this stuff happens, and that's, anyway, that's a very long answer, I guess, to about your Cayman Islands that I love, and I love the Caymans, and I do like their shape and how you can just, you know, and it just made the perfect setting for a story like this, especially a suspense story where there's something, there's an undercurrent there going on. That's why I got the name of Riptide, too, because there's an undercurrent the whole time of something very dangerous going on, and the very definition of Riptide just... It was perfect for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Do you want to show what the definition of riptide is? I mean, I know it is because I live out in California, out along the beaches, so I know. But
it's
for those who live inland.
It's a stretch of, oh, my gosh, you're catching me on the spot. I'm not in front of my computer. It's in my book. If you have the book handy, it says it's on the first chapter. It says the definition of riptide. The stretch of turbulent water where... Let me just go get the book, and I can tell you. Hello, I have copies of it myself. Let me go get it. I have a couple stacked around. Let me see here. Sorry, walking.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I caught you off the spot exactly for that reason.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you. I see how you work.
Yeah, exactly. I told you, we do our show off the cuff. We really do.
Okay, here it is. Riptide, a stretch of turbulent water in the sea caused by the meeting of currents or abrupt changes in depth. Also called a rip current, a strong current, especially one flowing outwards from the shore causing disturbance on the surface.
That's
the definition.
Exactly, yeah, and that's exactly what usually takes most surfers down in bodyboarders.
Yes.
It's the riptide.
Yeah.
It's when they're not prepared for those. They get dragged under, and hopefully you get out of it and up, because if you don't, it can be your death.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking
so that's
my
why.
Old bodyboarding days.
Yeah. Very scary thing. So anyway, that's why the Riptide. And I loved on the cover of Riptide, too. I chose the couple, the picture. But the cover artist made the actual title Riptide. It looks like sand being washed away. And I thought she did a brilliant job with that, the cover artist.
Oh, I did. I loved it. I think it's a beautiful cover. I really, it's very dramatic, but yet there's the romance and the sensual, you know, touches as well. So It's well done. It really encompasses the feeling of the book. As I've been reading, I've been like, wow, it was a great blend.
Because sometimes
you get covers and you're like, oh, my phone's going to die.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for being on the cordless. Let me flip. Sometimes with, covers, you're like, oh, interesting cover. And you read the book and you're like, but this has nothing to do with the story or very little.
So
I think that was, it was wonderfully done for, so great, mingling of minds.
Yes, it was. This is the first time I saw the picture of the couple and I had to have it. And I told the cover artist at the publisher, I said, I really want this. And I felt like I was sort of acting like a diva because I've never done that with a cover artist before, saying, I want this to be, the cover. Please, let's figure this out, how we can use this. And it was actually no big deal. They were like, okay. And I was like, oh, great then. I need to speak up more often. This worked out perfectly.
Well, just so you know, we've had a couple of comments where people are saying, yes, it is about your cover, that they really like your cover. So.
Oh, good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I know we recently had a conversation. You were worried that maybe your cover was a little over the top because of the couple a little bit.
Yeah.
You're starting to have some doubts now that it's out.
Yeah, I was. So. Because now that it's out, I mean, I loved it. But then I want it to market because it is I don't want it to, I don't know. I guess I did have some doubts once it was out. You know how you do second guess yourself once you...
Well, yeah. And especially with how popular 50 Shades of Grey is, I can understand because a lot of romance writers that Marcia Casper Cook and I have talked to, they're like, it's so hard, trying to find a balance because if your book isn't an erotic book like 50 Shades of Grey, because that's become so popular, you're like, your cover, some people may misread
right.
your book from the cover and think it is, and it's not.
Right. And yes, and I have a lot of friends who are erotic authors, so I don't want to act like I'm, snotty or anything, because I'm not at all. I respect the genre. It's just that this is not one. And, when it comes out looking like this, I just didn't want it to have, to give a false impression, because I chose it because I thought it was intense,
I like it. Yeah, I agree. I think it's very intense, and I think it's a good pick, especially because your book is. It's a suspense. It really So it needs to have an intense cover to reflect that feeling and emotion, because that's exactly what the book's about.
Right.
So I get it.
Oh,
but
I'm
think it's a
you
beautiful
do.
Cover. So.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And others listening to the show think it's a good cover, too. So there you go.
Well, thank you all. You're making me feel better. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So what was it like switching from Kiss Me Slowly to Riptide? Because, both books, I've never read Kiss Me Slowly, but I have read the blurbs and reviews of it. I mean, they definitely feel like they're two different, feeling books. So was it hard to change? Is it hard to change gears from, suspense books to a romantic book to, an erotic book? I mean, I don't know if you're working on any erotics or not, but I mean, how hard is it to shift gears from the different sub-genres within romance?
Well, that's not. Kiss Me Slowly is a romantic suspense, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's about diamond smuggling. And the Grace DuPont, who's the heroine of Kiss Me Slowly, is a forensic accountant, and she's the only link to prove Jonathan's innocence, because he's being set up on a diamond smuggling ring.
Okay.
Anyway, it's more complicated than that, but that's just the, quickie of it. And they find love on the run, basically.
Ah.
Yeah. And she's the key to saving him, and she's very smart. It's more of an action adventure, though, because it is very, there's buildings blow up and, a lot more. It's more of an action adventure. I thought a lot of men liked that book, which is good. I like that,
Yeah, getting a reader you wouldn't expect to be getting.
Yeah, it's crossed a genre, Kiss Me Slowly, or crossed genders is what I meant to say. Kiss Me Slowly has, because it's such an action adventure book, but it's still very much a romance, and it's a romantic suspense too. But it is different because Riptide is more of, like I said, an emotionally fueled or highly emotional book to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not for the readers, but as a writer, it was. I mean, there were times I was writing it and crying at the same time. you know.
Oh, wow. That's good, though, because you're really into the story. And honestly, you know, I like I said, I haven't read Kiss Me Slowly, but I have read Riptide, and that's what I'm saying. It feels very, I feel the emotional charge, but then maybe that's because I have some writing and editing background too. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but I feel it. I'm picking up on it.
Good. I'm glad. I really poured myself, and I poured myself into them all. But you know how everyone seems, so everyone's a little bit different. I will say though, to answer the question. Like I said, the one that I'm switching it and it's going to be a straight suspense, that is a little different for me to write that way, where the suspense plot takes the center stage. And I'm only hoping that people that like my books now will still like that one, you know, that they'll follow, you know, along. That's the risk, I think, that an author takes when they leave out an element. But I am hoping that as long as it's a good book, it'll still be, you know, people won't abandon me over it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Please don't.
No, I understand it. I understand that because, you know, I write in the children's and young adult genre, and even though I have some novels that I'm working on in the young adult market right now, I do want to break out, and I've talked to, you know, quite a few writers in other genres about breaking out into some other stuff. And it worries me. Like, I'm like, do I use a pen name? Do I keep my same name? You know, because you're right. It's hard when you change gears, you know, even a little bit from what people are used to reading from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, I think as an author that you need to branch out and kind of challenge yourself too.
Right, you do. And I think that at least as long as you stay within the same like realm, even though it might be a different genre, that people will be okay with keeping your same name. I think if I were to switch and go straight to, like, I am writing a nonfiction book, and I'm just going to go under A.L. Easton. I know that's not the big, so creative, pseudonym, from Amberly Easton to A.L. I'm really getting risky there. but I'm switching it just a little bit there, just so that, you know, because it's a nonfiction book about something serious, so I am going to go under A.L. Easton, but I don't know. I'm not going to get a different fan page or anything on Facebook because of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm silly. I just think the only reason I would ever do that, right now I write very adult stuff. Even my nonfiction is going to be an adult subject matter. Mm-hmm. And so the only way I would see changing into a pseudonym was if I were to go to young adult because, you know, the young adult fans probably won't want to read my adult stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do know a lot of romance writers that write picture books too, and they do. They either use their full name for one and then initials for the other, or they use a pseudonym. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, well, you know, I don't need mommy to come over here and find my romance book. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But you know something? So it takes, as a writer, you know this, it takes a long time to build a brand too. And to build a following, and I don't want to just start all over again with a pseudonym, which is what you have to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's you almost come out like a breakout writer, even though you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
And then eventually, usually, if you become popular under both, they put the two together.
I know.
Figure it out anyhow. I know, it's funny how that all works.
Yeah, like I'll just stick with this the way I'm doing it for now, and worry about that in the future if I need to.
I know, you know, suspense is definitely the genre that you're most focused in. Have you ever tried to write anything else, like because I know there's romantic paranormal romances and there's, you know, and I hate saying horror because it's not really, but it's more horror versus suspense, and they
are
two separate things.
Vampire type stuff.
Well, see, I think vampires to me kind of falls more into either between suspense or paranormal, depending on how they do it. I don't really, unless they're killing everybody and got blood all over the page.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then it could be, I guess, horror.
I like reading paranormal romances, but I don't have any ideas right now for one. But I mean, you know, I would never rule it out. I like reading them, you know. I think they're
Is there any genre in romance, you know, one of the subgenres that you wouldn't attempt because you're just like, nope, I just don't, it's not me, there's no way?
Probably the erotica.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, and then, like I said, it's just not, I don't have the idea for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the whole, the menage thing and stuff, I just don't have that. That's not, if I'm not into something, I guess I can't write about it. That's how I feel. Not that I'm into diamond smuggling and, you know, stalkers and mayhem either.
Sure,
believe
we know.
Me,
we know you're. We know you're on the America's Most Wanted list as
yes.
as one of the. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I have a fake name right now. You never know.
We never know.
I'm calling you from the jungle in Belize. let me go get my hammock and stash it away. you know, I feel like I've got to write what I know at the end of the day, and I write right now. I know about love between a man and a woman, one man and one woman. That's what I know. That's what I want in my life, and that's what, you know, that's where I feel the emotion from, and so that's where I'm sticking to that because I feel like if I want to keep writing credible characters that people can relate to, then I need to keep doing that.
Yeah, no, and that's good, and I'm glad that you're aware of that and that you know that by staying where, you know, and where you're writing, you can put the emotion that you need to, because I think, you know, I think it's great that writers branch out. I've been at a couple of writers conferences recently and, you know, we did writing workshops and, you know, I signed up for some that are totally out of my realm. I mean, I love reading the genres. So that's why I took the course because I was like, oh, it'd be fun just to learn the techniques behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since I'm at this conference, like, I love horror. I mean, anybody who's listened to my shows or follows me on any of my blogs or Facebook or whatever knows I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I love Stephen King. Absolutely just every movie that's been, you know, every book that's been turned into movie, every TV show that's been, you know, used, his books have been used for the idea, his books. I just, Stephen King fan all the way around. And, but I know for myself right now, there's no way in heck I could write in that genre. As much fun as I had in that at the conference in that workshop, my characters felt very flat because emotionally I just can't put myself there. Just can't do it. And
right.
I don't know if it's just because I'm afraid I'm going to have EBGBs and nightmares at night or whatever the heck is, but I can't. As much as I love reading it and watching those kind of movies, I can't personally write it myself. I just can't let myself go. So I think that's, you know, it's great that you're aware of that limitation, because I think sometimes writers want to branch out so much and try something different that they push so hard and then they publish it and then they look back, as I hope they do, look back later and go, wow, why did I just
regret.
Wasn't ready. Yeah, and how I just, yeah, you, the regret. I think that's really sad when that happens. So,
well, since
no,
erotica right now is hot, you know, that was mm-hmm. because of the 50 Shades of Grey phenomena that's going on. You know, and so I've been asked, you know, do you want to go into the, you know, start writing erotica? And it's just, it's not appealing to me at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
And
no,
I don't know.
No, and I think that's good because you're right in the fact that you just said because it's hot, because that's the other thing that I see, you know, when I've sat on the editor side of the desk when I used to sit over there and, you know, and I still do for one publisher for submissions when they come in. You can tell somebody's writing in a genre because it's the hot genre, like with Harry Potter and Twilight, with like all
oh.
the buzz around it. People who think they can write fantasy, especially young adult fantasy,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, you have to be almost a kid yourself to some degree and
yeah.
be kind of a little loopsy
yeah,
to
a little
really
geeky.
Grab.
Oh,
yeah, to
yeah.
really grab that market and understand the way those kids are going to gravitate to that kind of writing.
You do. It's so true. It really is.
Yeah.
You can't just write what's hot. I mean, some people maybe can, but I can't. I can only write
yeah.
what I feel connected to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no,
you know, maybe I'll run
good.
Out of ideas one day and, you know, open my beach bar somewhere. Just be.
Well, you know, and then maybe one time you'll have like just some like really hot, you know, encounter with a guy and it may not
and
work
his
out
brother, and his twin
it,
maybe
yeah,
I don't
and
know
it beca- and
don't
it becomes know. Some gr- and it becomes some great fodder and you're like, you know what, I could write this now. So you
yeah
know.
A revelation. That's all
yes.
I now understand. I get it totally. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit. You're doing a virtual tour right now with the World of Ink.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping to tour Riptide right now and promote it. So what else do you have going on with Riptide besides that? I know, and I have to actually go figure out who just wine, because we ran a giveaway too for Victoria's Secret's gift card last week, and I haven't gone in there to see who the winner is yet. I need to do that so we can announce it, but on the blog. So anybody who's curious to know who won, you can go to the World of Ink Network blog at Blogspot and find out who the winner is later today. But what else do you have going on that you're doing to push Riptide, to get awareness of Riptide out to fans and new fans?
Well, I've just been doing my blog, too, over at amberleyeaston.blogspot.com. I've been doing some excerpts over there and just other, you know, my normal stuff I do over there, trying to promote myself as a writer and also to promote Riptide. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, this is all I'm doing. I'm doing just blogs right now. And we'll see. But I'm trying to gear up, too, because I have these other two releases that are going to be coming out soon. And so I'm trying to find some balance between promotion and then also gearing up for those two and continuing to write further down the road so that I keep having other releases coming out, too. That seems to be what every writer says, though. That's the hardest part of
the balance.
Yeah, of the balance.
Well, and then you have teenagers at home, which doesn't make it easy. I mean, even if they are driving, or one of them, is eligible to drive because one's only 15. So,
lacrosse season just started. So, you know, it's always something. Busy, busy. But,
not easy. And you're doing this as a single mom, you know?
I know. That's why I'm still single 8 years after my husband died, I think, probably. And that's fine.
And I do understand it. I mean, I was only single, luckily I was only single for 6 years with my son before I met my husband now. But those 6 years, I understand, and he was little at that time, so I was doing the whole daycare because, you know, I married Justin when Dominic turned six. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was during the whole, I mean, at least yours are old enough that you don't have to worry about babysitters. I was doing the babysitter thing, and oh my gosh! Well, I'm sure you went through part of that too. So,
I didn't start dating again until last year. I took a solid 6.5 years of just focusing on my kids and my writing and myself before I decided I was ready to go back out and look for my plus one again. So I waited until they were older. And I'm kind of glad. Well, I didn't really. It's just how things worked out. There was a lot of stuff to deal with when you're.
You know, when you lose somebody, you know, to loss of life versus. Mm-hmm. I mean, not saying. And trust me, I mean, I come from a divorced family, so I understand divorce two people, because you know, been through that myself. But it's not. Either way, it's not easy, and I think loss of life is way harder than divorce. I really, really do.
You know,
so,
everybody says, I think so, in the way that, it yes and no, I will say, from dealing now with some divorced people I've, you know, been talking to in the dating world. Yes, it is, because it wasn't my choice to lose my husband, you know, and I still love him, you know, and so there was, you know, there's that whole learning to put that into a different part of my heart so that I can find room for other people, because I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life.
Right.
But showing, you know, respect for that. And I had to mourn that loss. But with divorced people, they have they seem to have a lot of broken hearts too, because the person still exists. And then they have to watch that person move on with someone else or, you know, it's almost, you know, there's another kind, it's a different kind of pain.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, it is.
You know, and to have to always still communicate. Or, you know, they see someone, even if their kids are older, they have that person still in their realm. And they may not necessarily want that person in their realm, you know.
That's true, thinking of my parents.
Yes, exactly.
And I honestly thought when I got married that would be the last time I'd see my parents in the same room with each other. Mm-hmm. And then I had, you know, other kids, and I went, oh, yeah, they have to be here for parties. And then Christmas comes around, and it's like, well, who's and that's the thing. I mean, unlike, you know, people who aren't divorced, which I know has become the growing problem, you know, because more and more people divorce. It's the whole, well, besides your in-laws, now you have, you know, well, I'm talking about the kids. You know, the kids are like I have my parents, and I have my other parents, and then I have my in-laws. And then if you're married to somebody who has divorced parents, it's you have two sets of in-laws. So instead of, like, I'm fortunate. I have only three, and you know,
wow,
three
that's
sets
a lot of
parents.
People. Deal with.
Well, because I have my mom and my stepdad, my dad and my stepmom, and then my husband's parents. And if his parents were divorced, then we would have had a whole other set to worry about. There would have been four. When Christmas rolls around or Thanksgiving rolls around, you know, because we celebrate those holidays, it's like, who do we go see? You know, it's bad enough I remember when my parents were married, it was, do we go to the Bennetts or do we go to the Stallards? You know, it's like, well, do we go to the Lanes, do we go to the Stallards, or do we go to the Greniers? And we've gotten to the point where we're just like, hopefully everybody, and I'm very fortunate, my parents do get along, that we actually have everybody together in one central meeting ground, and we have all three. And I'm grateful for that, because you're right. Sometimes you don't get along, like, unfortunately, the situation with my son's dad, biological uh-huh. dad, is I don't want him in my face. I won't even be within 5 miles of the man.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And, yeah. So, and it makes for a very hard time.
Yeah. And yes, it does. I'm like, and that's where I think I'm, in a way, I still have all these good feelings about love and relationships. I'm very positive. And, you know, it's almost, it sounds so strange to say, but it's a blessing right now that this is 8 years out, keep in mind, mm-hmm. that I have, you know, these fond memories of my first marriage, you know. So if I'm lucky enough to get married again, I hopefully will bring good things to the table in that way. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. I really do believe in what I write. I believe in what I write, I should say. I believe in
that's
the happy.
Good.
I believe in the love, and I believe in the happily ever after. But, you know, happily ever afters only occur, you know, one day at a time. That's what people forget. There's no guarantee. Yeah. You know.
Well, we're enjoying your books.
Well, thank you.
I'm enjoying Riptide, and eventually I'm going to go get Kiss Me Slowly because I want to read that one too. And as your other ones roll out, you've
well, you know, you've
fan.
Got a you've got a connection who might be able to hook you up with Kiss Me Slowly.
Well, I try not to abuse my connection, to be honest, because I understand the whole, you know, it still costs money to you. And
yeah.
So, but I'm enjoying Riptide. Well, would you like to leave your links for
yes.
listeners so they can follow you, and hopefully you'll gain some new fans, because you're a phenomenal writer, and you really do, you know, I think it was Walt Whitman who said it. Maybe I'm wrong, but it was the whole, you know, it was a quote about, you know, a writer doesn't write, they actually slit their veins and let the blood pour out on the page. And
yeah.
I feel like that's how you write, that you do pour yourself into your novels, and that's what makes great books. You're right.
Oh.
It really does.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. This made my day. Thank
you.
Okay. Okay. And you can follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/author Amber Lee Easton. That's L-E-A Easton. And then my website is www.amberleeeaston.com. And then on Twitter, I'm Mountain Moxie Girl. So follow me to any of those places, and you'll be good to go. Reckless
yeah,
Endangerment's coming out soon. That'll be a good one. You'll like it. If you like Riptide,
like,
you're going to really like Reckless Endangerment when that comes out.
That's a nice title. It's very catchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
I mean, Reckless Endangerment.
One.
Yeah, that one can that can mean a lot of different things. That's a good
yeah.
for
I know it is. It is.
Yeah, and then so our listeners know, too, if you weren't able to get all that, we do have a link to Amber Leah Easton's tour with the World of Ink in the show description page, but you can also go to worldofinknetwork.com, and you'll see a tab that says Authors on Tour. You'll see her beautiful photo, and you can just click on the link to her tour page, and it lists all the different stops that she's going to have throughout February. There's the book trailers there, so they can see a little preview of...
Yeah, please go
yes.
to the book trailer. I really am proud
yes.
of that. It was fun
and I think,
together.
And I think we also have an excerpt as well on the tour page. I can't remember which one, but I know one of them's there because
okay.
you sent us two. And then, of course, all your links as well so they can, you know, track you down. So it's been great
thank
having
you
on the show, Amber.
Thank you very much. I really
well,
appreciate
wish,
it. Thank
oh,
you.
You're welcome. And we wish you much, much success with your books.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And then just so our listeners know, again, tomorrow is A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Casper Cook. So please tune in to that show. It is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Wednesday is the Family Matter Show with Keisha Burcham, Irene Roth, and myself, Virginia S. Grenier. That show is on at 6 p.m. Eastern. We will be talking about student and school safety. And then on Thursday is Fran Lewis's book discussion show. That one will be on at 4 p.m. Eastern as well. And we thank you for listening to the Writing Mama Show here at the World of Ink Network, and we wish you all a great week. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.